We pray. Lord, at this moment, we ask you to speak a living word into our lives, into our situations, and into this very moment. And Lord, we ask for that which you've already given us, the Holy Spirit, that he might help us to ingest this word, to digest it, to apply the word, and to be renewed through this living word. And Lord, may you keep us free from distractions, that we might focus on the life that you speak into us and the mercy and grace that you pour over us, that we might one day, when that moment comes, see you face to face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would imagine most of us, maybe not all of us if you're too young, but you can think back to that moment in your life, maybe when you were in high school, maybe in college, when you had this image of what the ideal life would be. It was that experiment that you didn't know was an experiment of wondering, what's my future going to look like? And in an ideal world, you thought about things like, well, as I look into the future, I see myself being this for a living. When I look into the future, I see that I'll have this kind of spouse in the future. And when I look into my future, I just know that I will have three children, at least two of which I like. And of course, in that future, there's always a golden retriever whom you get as a puppy, and it doesn't chew on anything that it shouldn't. It's potty trained right off the bat, and it follows you wherever you go, and it listens to your every command. You think my house is going to be a great, great house nestled in the mountains of Colorado or Wyoming or Montana, which if you're here, we know that's all not happened. It's a beautiful life you imagined for yourself. It's an ideal life you thought about for yourself. There was no suffering in that image, no adversity, no setbacks, not even any sin in that picture. Then you get a little older, and you don't think any longer about an ideal life. You think maybe of an ideal day. Actually, when I tried to think of that, I could only think really of an ideal morning. It would be a morning where I wake up after a great rest, and I hear the crackling from the fire that's still going in my room, in my cabin, tucked into the woods of Vermont, a place I've never been. And it's fall. The trees are popping with beautiful red, yellow, orange. And as I wake up and I make my way to the kitchen for the coffee that was already freshly made by somebody who's, well, invisible, my golden retriever follows me as I pour the coffee. I open the front door of my cabin to a wonderful deck. Everyone else is still asleep but me and the golden retriever. And I sit on the front porch, and my coffee steams, and I see the leaves falling, and I have my Bible, and I open it up and I read it and it all makes sense. I top that off with a great, great prayer. One that even made God say, wow, that was really good. And then I think, well, that's enough. I'm now going to go for a run with my golden retriever. And I run through the trails of Vermont, dodging the leaves as they fall. And I see a black bear, which normally would terrify me, but he just rises up and just kind of waves as I go by. And then I come home and I realize real life happens. And there's this issue that you and I have when real life smacks up against the ideal life that we've expected for ourselves. And when real life splashes cold water on your ideal life, stress emerges. Anxiety rises. Frustrations happen. You experience dissatisfaction in areas of your life where you never, in that ideal image of your life, thought you would experience adversity or brokenness or loss. See, those things weren't part of that moment. But then they quickly become part of real life. And there's this thirst and hunger that you heard of in the gospel reading for righteousness. Now, you don't know that's what it is that you're actually thirsting and hungering for. No, you're taking these real life issues to the Lord in a plea or in a cry or in a sob, and you're hoping that the Lord Jesus will give you a sneak peek into how this thing or that thing is going to turn out. You never thought you'd be in a marriage that puts you before a counselor. And you wonder, Lord, can you give me some glimpse, some sort of vision that assures me that this is going to work out once we go through the pain of counseling? You offer a plea and a prayer for an illness, wondering, Lord, there are many paths this illness can take. Can you give me a glimpse into the way that this illness is going to go for me or for somebody I love? Lord, I feel the financial stress that just seems to be tightening its grip on my family. I've lost a job. I'm looking for a job. I'm sending out resumes. I'm posting resumes. I'm updating LinkedIn. I'm doing all these things. But Lord, can you let me know if it's going to turn before we have to start selling some things? Quite possibly this house that we were at one point so proud of showing to others. Can I see? Will you give me a peek? Lord, this thing happened to me younger in my life, and I'm just full of shame, and my identity seems to have been destroyed. It seems to have gone from innocence to brokenness, and I want to know, will I ever see myself as something other than the thing that happened to me? Will you give me a sneak peek, Lord? Is that day coming? All of these prayers that we thirst and hunger for a sneak peek into are always met with silence. And we go a step farther and conclude that this thirst and this hunger, this earnest prayer, is met with no you will not see into your future. I heard it, but you're left to lean into me, to trust me, to know that regardless of outcome, I, your Lord, walk with you. I, the Lord, your God, am near. And let that be sufficient for today. For you don't know what tomorrow will bring, nor am I giving you a sneak peek into it. These sorts of things could and can be devastating to our faith. They can rattle us to the core. They can lead us to draw conclusions about the nature of God that are not true but seem more real than any other image of God we've ever heard. In this moment, it doesn't seem like he's that shepherd leading me beside still waters. He seems more like the aloof shepherd who can't hear the roar of the waters and how I'm halfway under that stream. Which makes today's reading from Revelation a shock. Why is it such a shock? Because the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, is giving you and giving me a sneak peek into the future. Not the future so much that you wanted a sneak peek into, like, Lord, what are the Powerball numbers? No, kidding. This is a sneak peek into a reality, into your future and my future for all of those who persevere in the faith. It's a truth, not just for me, but for all of you. And he's telling you, this is your future at the resurrection of the dead when this world draws to a close. I want to highlight a couple verses. Verse 9, as John is given this peek behind the curtain and the veil of heaven, and he says, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice. This is your future and mine in Christ and those who remain in him. We will stand on our own feet. We will hold things with our own hand. We will raise our own unique voices to the Lamb who opened heaven's gates to us. You're not floating around on a cloud as a chubby angel. You will be you with your renewed legs, your hands, and your voice, and your name. Now, how do you know if you have this kind of assurance? Well, the elder asks John a question and says, who are those clothed in white robes from where they have come? And I'm just guessing that this elder was Peter, because he doesn't let John answer. John says to him, sir, you know, and he said, yep, I do. Remember, I'm Peter. And he responds, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who are these people other than the people who have come into the Lord's house and heard the absolution and forgiveness of sins spoken over them? Who else is this other than those who have been washed in the baptism that Jesus gives? Who are these other than those who return Sunday after Sunday to receive the body and the blood whereby you are washed in the blood of the Lamb? These are the persevering gifts of the faith that God gives you so that you might know this is your future. This is how it turns out in the end. Maybe the marriage didn't turn out. Maybe the finances didn't. Maybe the illness didn't. But all will be well in the end for those in Christ. And it's a promise that is a fact to every one of his children. And because of that fact, Paul says in his letter, we don't grieve like people who are outside of Christ. Because we know the fact that in the end, we will be next to them, standing with our own legs, hugging with our own arms, singing with our own voices, speaking tenderly and without sin with our own voices. There is no greater sneak peek into your future than this one. And Jesus in his infinite wisdom knows that this one is enough to pull you and move you through all the other ones that he didn't let you see into the future about. But this one is the most important one. It is the final one. It's the end of this life and the beginning of eternity. And this, brothers and sisters, is why we have hope. This is how we are made clean in the blood of the Lamb. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are not given the answers to all the moments and situations we face in this life. We are not given sneak peeks into outcomes in this life. In this life, we are encouraged to trust you, to seek to do your will, to reconcile, forgive, and to serve and love others. But the day is coming, as you told us in this revelation, that we will hunger and thirst no more. In other words, the righteousness will be ours and we will find full satisfaction being in your presence and among your people for eternity. And so, Lord, we pray that that day may come sooner than later. We rejoice thinking at those who are at least experiencing in part that day now. But Lord, they yearn in heaven as we yearn on earth for the resurrection of the dead when all things will be made new. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.